into the family through Jesus' precious blood. You tasted of his goodness and his love. He showered you with blessings. He's building you a home. But somehow on your journey, you're standing all alone. Homeland, down paths so dark and cold, in search of all the treasures you could hold. Your freedom brought you bondage, rebellion brought you fear, but Jesus stands behind you, and homeland is so near.
Together, we're going to read the scripture just for the reading of the scripture, and then I'll let you be seated. Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. Or if you're a new Christian, look for the book of Job, okay, right towards the middle. Remember when they said that the first time I was in church, Job? I'm like, I don't see Job. I see Job over here. So if you're looking for a job, that's the book to read, all right? And fill out applications. Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, and we'll start in verse number 1. Job chapter 19 and verse number 1 says, "Then Job answered and said, 'How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with your words? These 10 times have you reproached me, yet ye are not ashamed that you make yourselves strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his tent. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. And he hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And my hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and my acquaintance are very verily estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Let's pray. Father, this morning as we look into your word, I pray that you would help us to get what you have for us. Help us, Lord, to be strengthened and encouraged and helped as Job was during some very, very difficult times in his life. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, many of us, we know the story of Job. We understand that Job, as the story starts out, was a great man. He was godly, very, very prosperous. In fact, he was such a good man that he was somebody that God bragged to Satan about. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He goes, "Hey, check this guy out. This guy's the real deal. This guy is an unbelievable man." He was greatly blessed by God. Had a large family. Sometimes we look at that, we don't see that as a blessing, but God sees that as a blessing. And he had a large family. And he was prosperous. God prospered him. And then it happened. Through a series of events that Job did not understand at the time, Satan was allowed to take away everything he had. He lost it all. We just finished on stewardship. Last week, we talked about it for about 3 weeks. When we talked about stewardship and what we are stewards or manager of, we talked about two areas. The areas would be that which we possess and also our own selves. If you look at Job, he lost out in both of those areas. He lost out in just about everything he possessed, and then physically, he lost out on his health. Job took a hit, but it failed to shake his faith in God. Satan had told the Lord, "Listen, the only reason Job's a good guy is because you blessed him. Take everything you have, and Job will no longer serve you. In fact, probably curse you to your face." God said, "Okay." Job passed that test. When he passed that test, Satan came back and said, "Well, of course, because he's still healthy. If you hurt him directly, then he'll curse you to your face." Lord says, "Okay." And then Job loses his health, and again, he makes it through, stands the test of time. As we look at Job in his life, it can be a great comfort to us. And really, it's a great example also. He went through many things, difficulties and trial. And by the way, they were through no fault of his own. Sometimes something bad happens to somebody, and you know, it's like, "Well, you know, they're just getting what they deserve." And of course, I understand we don't deserve anything from God, but this was not directly a result of anything that Job did. A lot of times, most problems people have, they bring on because of the result of the way they live. They violate God's principles, and things go bad, and it's like, "Hey, what's God doing?" Could just be maybe we're not doing what God wants us to be doing. And those results come built in. God doesn't throw that. But that was not Job's case. Job was a good guy. And these things happened to him. In this chapter, we see how the situations and those around him did not respond well to the situation. In other words, the people around him, they struggled with what was going on. And they did not handle it very well. And unfortunately, Job felt the brunt of that. You see that his friends now, who came to see Job in his affliction, and they had good intentions. And they sat there quiet for a week, and they're just with him and just mourning with him. And then all of a sudden, they open their mouth, and it's like they should have been quiet another week. These are the kind of friends you don't need. When they did open their mouth, they did not give any encouragement. They're basically saying, there's something in your life that's wrong, that's hiding, and God's found you out. That's what's happening to you. By the way, that doesn't help. Sometimes people are like that. You're going through a tough time. Oh, you know, and they're the spiritual police. You know, oh, you did this. Like, you don't know what's going on. By the way, someone's going through a tough time, you know what they need? They need comfort. Okay? You say, well, somebody did something, and now they're paying the results of that. They don't need a history lesson. They need help. They need comfort. Okay? And we're good at history lessons, aren't we? Unless it's our history, then we don't want anybody to know about it. But his friends accused him. He was confused. Job was personally confused about what was going on. Like, it got, you mentioned it. You read it. You know, God hath come after me. And Job didn't understand it all. He thought God was after him. He was confused as to what was happening. And early on, he's like, look, I wish I had never been born. That's how much pain he was in. His relatives, his siblings and distant family members were estranged from him. I'll give his friends credit on one point. They at least came to see him. That's about it. If they'd have stayed for a week and left, it would have been a lot better. Of course, we wouldn't have the book of Job. But doesn't say much about his family. They're estranged. They were away. They didn't even want to come see him. I like that. His household servants ignored him. Said he talked to the maid and she just didn't answer. Talk to the servant, they're like, they didn't respond to him. By the way, they're on the payroll. And when he's talking to them, they're like, no. His wife was alienated. What did she say? With as much encouragement as she could give, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? That's a blessing. Okay? It was a problem there. Even the little kids in the neighborhood mocked him. Can you imagine? And by the way, before that, Job was a very well-respected man. And he was very helpful to those in his community, you would say. And yet, when he has a problem, they all turn his back on him. And then his health failed him. The thing I want us to see here is that Job was in a place where he wasn't sure of anything that was going on in his life and anymore. Before, he kind of had everything together. He said, listen, I'm helping people. I got this thing. I'm my children, my family. And he prayed for them diligently, and he did all these things, and he was helpful in the community, and he was a blessing to people. And now all of that is ripped out from him. And he's not very sure about what's going to come next. We get there sometimes. Lost his reputation. Lost his prosperity. Lost his family. The very pillars of his life, one by one, were kicked out from underneath him. And now he's left to sort it out. Not just the circumstances of life were bad for him, but the people had turned on him. Now, we know the end of the story. Job hangs in there. God turns the situation around. God rebukes his buddies. And Job is twice as prosperous as he was before. But it took a while to get there. What about us? Sometimes things happen in our life. Sometimes we go through difficulties. Sometimes the thing is in our life that we were pretty sure of, all of a sudden things start to happen, and we're not so sure anymore. Now, take heart, it's not to the extent that Job went through. But we feel like that sometimes. And if we're not careful, it starts to shake our faith a little bit. You see, we like security. When we were talking about finances over the last few weeks, one of the lies that finances gives us is that they bring security in our life. By the way, security is only supposed to come from one person in our life, and that's the Lord. That's why money can be a competing God. It offers that which only God can give. But why is that such a temptation for us? We like security. We don't like when things are out of kilter. We don't like when we're sick. We don't like when things are happening to those around us. We don't like when we take a hit, maybe financial. We don't like those things. And that security that's supposed to be in the Lord, sometimes our eyes are off of that, and we start to feel a little bit unsure about what's going on in this world. What do we do? Well, we specifically didn't read the entire chapter. We're going to look at some things Job talks about to help us and help him get through this. Now understand this, when you read the book of Job, he says a lot of good things. But in between a lot of the good things, he says a lot of discouraging things. Job was just like us. He knew what was right, he knew what he had to believe in, but every now and then, this other stuff seeped out. Why is God just, and then, man, I trust in the Lord, but why is he doing this? You ever been there? We know what's right, and we know that God's in control, and we know God's going to take care of everything, and yet our flesh is like, what's going on here? How come this is happening? How come that security is being kicked out from underneath me? Well, we're going to see it. In the end of this chapter, from verse 23 and on, let's see some of the things that, even though Job struggled, even though Job went through a hard time, and even though he questioned some of the things that were going on in his life, every now and then, the reality that he knew and that he really followed in his life seeped through. And it helped him to get through these unsure times. What are the sure things of life that we can look to in unsure time? Well, let me give you a couple. Number one, we see the surety of God's word. Verse 23, if you have your Bible still open. If not, open to Job chapter 19. We're going to look at a few more verses. Job 19 and verse 23. Job says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." By the way, they are. "That they were graven with an iron pen and led in the rock forever." They were. Why did God put these here, though? For us. God knew we would need this someday. God knew that there would be times in our life when we struggle, and we need something that is sure. We need something we can look to and say, that's the rock. That's something I can count on. That's something that is 100% true. And it's in his book. The surety of God's word. See, we live in a time when the veracity of the Bible is being questioned. People no longer look when they want to know what absolute truth is to what God says. Absolute truth is up for grabs. It's what you believe it to be. There is no such thing as absolute truth. What we believe, it's this truth where whatever you believe is true for you, and whatever this person believes is true for them. Well, you have a right to believe that, but let me just say this. When we're looking at the Word of God, that is absolute truth. Got to have it. We can't hitch ourselves to sand. That doesn't work. We need a solid rock in life. When all the things in life are out of kilter, nothing is going well, we need something we can look to and say, that's true. That I can stake myself true. And it's God's word. God's word is true. All of us are unsure. We have unsure times and we need comfort. A sure word. By the way, Job didn't get it from his friends. There was nothing there to say, trust in the Lord and it shall be well. That was a lot of other stuff. He couldn't go home and say, honey, I'm in trouble. She didn't want to have anything to do. She was struggling. Family didn't even come to see him. You imagine, here he is in the ash heap and he's sick and the children are running there and making fun of him. He asks his maid or his servant to do something for him. And they're like, by the way, I wonder how nervous they got when Job got healed. It's like, did you hear? Job's doing better. He's coming home. They're probably typing their resume. Yeah. He needed something. There was one place he could run to. The Word of God. I like the story when David was still running from Saul and he was with his mighty men. And they went and they fought a battle. And when they came back, I think from Ziklag, where their families were, they had been overrun by another country. I forget who it was. And their wives and their families were taken captive. And everything they had was stolen. And here's David. They come back and here's his mighty men. And their families are all gone, and all their stuff is gone. And instead of getting together saying, let's go get the enemy, David's over here by himself, and all of his mighty men are talking about, we need to stone and kill David. He led us astray. What do you do in a time like that? I like what it says in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Didn't say anything about wives. That's weird. But David encouraged himself. I just noticed that. That's a word from the Lord. I think it's implied. Okay, back to the message. But David encouraged himself. And the Lord is God. It's the only place he could go. Can you imagine? Your wife, your children, everybody's gone. The city's ransacked. You lost all your stuff. Here's all your guys. Your men. They're saying, hey, we got to kill David. And here he is by himself. He says, you know what? He encouraged himself in God. He said, the Lord is solid. And he was able to encourage his men. They got everybody back. No one was touched and nothing was lost. But we need something like that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called to glory and virtue. Wherefore are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Those great, exceeding promises of God. God's word is always sure. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's not up for grabs. It's not always changing. God's word is true, and it's settled, and we have it for when we need it. I think a problem for many of us today as Christians is we live in an age when the Bible is so accessible that it's so easy to have a copy and get to that we never get to it. I mean, we not only have printed scripture, we have, you can have it digitally, you can listen to it. I mean, it's everywhere. And it seems that the more we have, the less we avail ourselves to partake of it. You realize there was a day when just owning a Bible could mean death. Look at the many of the early translators in their lives and what happened to them. They were put to death. For what? Simply translating the Bible into English. William Tyndale was called the father of the English Bible. He was a translator. He was captured and eventually burned at the stake for simply translating the Bible. His life was lived hiding and running as he was translating to keep himself from being caught and killed for simply translating the Bible. Yet we have multiple copies. By the way, owning a Bible will do you no good. You know. We got to know what it says. We have a hard time and we need God to speak to us. Listen, he's not going to say Holy Bible. That's probably all most of us would know because it says it on the outside. We got to know what it says on the inside. That's where the encouragement comes from. Okay? That's what Job was actually pining for. We got to have this written down so that it can encourage others. We need the Word of God. Listen, never get away from the Word of God. Amen. Why did Job endure? Because he understood God's Word. In Job chapter 23 and verse 12, another one of those bright and shining moments where he gets it out. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. He was hurting so bad, he said, listen, I don't even, the word of God is more important to me than regular food. I've got to have it. This is what's going to get me through these tough times. You're having a tough time today? The first thing I would tell you is you need to make sure you're in the word of God. Say, well, if God would just tell me what's going on, right there. By the way, don't believe this stuff. People are like, well, you know, I was sleeping in bed one night and I heard something. It's probably a burglar. It's probably the neighbor's dog. And I heard this voice and God spoke to me. Can I just tell you something? God doesn't speak like that. God speaks through that book right there. And by the way, if God did speak like that, which he doesn't, why would he speak to us like that when we won't listen to what he's already said? Okay? We got to know what he said. We need something that's stable to anchor ourselves to. It's right here. How are we going to get through tough times? We need to get into his word. Amen. Number two, we need the surety of his presence. Verse number 25, he makes a declaration. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, when we read the beginning of the chapter, he said, you know, hey, your friends, you're acting just like God who's against me. Why is God doing this? And then that was his flesh speaking. That was his misery speaking. When he gets down to it, he says, I know my Redeemer lives. I know he's here. I don't serve a dead God. He's right here with me all the time. Never question God's presence. We do that sometimes. Just because things aren't going well, we think God has given up on us. Listen, that doesn't mean God. Did God give up on Job? I mean, if you could take anybody and be the poster child for somebody that God gave up on, it's Job. And yet God was there all the time. Maybe we just don't recognize that God is with us. You see, too often we put God on trial. That ought to just be solved in our life. When we know the Lord, we ought to just say, he's with me. Now, sometimes there's difficult times. I get that. But let's not put him on trial every single little time. There's a phrase we use. And by the way, nothing wrong with it. We'll have testimony time. And someone will raise their hand and say, I just want to thank the Lord. God is good. He did this for me. And by the way, you ought to thank God and praise him for doing stuff for you. Right? Let others know what God is doing for you. But that doesn't mean just because God didn't do something special that he's not good to you. You know, God is good. I got a raise. Does that mean God's not good when you didn't get a raise? And you're not saying that. I understand that. I'm just making a point. God is always good. Now, sometimes there's those little extra blessings that, boom, yeah, that's great. Thank you, Lord. Especially at the right time, right? That's fine. But let's not always put God in trial just because we didn't get the raise. Just because things didn't go well. You may expect a raise and you may go in and get fired. Remember years ago, we were living in Florida. We went to help start a church. And we were really struggling financially. And I got a job. I got a job working for a company. I was stripping floors. And man, we really needed this job. And I got the job, and I was working overnight, and I had stripped floors before. So we were at Kmart, and I was doing the main aisle, and this other guy, and the supervisor came in with me. They would lock. They used to lock me in the store. I still remember. Remember that old Energizer commercial? Dun, 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 the rabbit? They had a television in the back, and all night long that stupid commercial would play. And I'm there. I'm the only person in the store. I was there from 9 at night to like 6, 7 in the morning, and I had to listen to that stupid Energizer commercial all night long. Anyhow, I'm stripping the floor, and this supervisor said, hey, do it this way. He said, I was going to tape it off, because if not, the stripper gets on the good wax, and it ruins a good wax, and I know how to do that. And he said, no, don't do it that way. I said, it's going to ruin the edges. He goes, do it my way. Like, you're the boss. I'll do it your way. So I did it that way. We stripped that floor. We were done. The edges looked horrible. He ruined the wax on the other one. He's the boss. So I go home. I work third shift. I'm sleeping. I get a call 11 in the morning. It was the owner of the company. He says, you're fired. What was that all about? He goes, the supervisor told me how you messed up the floor. Now, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go find that guy. But I'm like, you know, maybe because I didn't sleep all night, only been asleep 2 hours, I'm like, whatever, I'll go get another job. But I'm thinking, that was not good. I needed that job. Now, God wasn't there. Now, he was there when I got the job. Like, hey, man, God's good. I got a job. It's like, where was God? It's like, where's God now? By the way, I got a better job later. But it's like, listen, I'm not going to put God on trial. Just because things don't seem to go well, I don't know what he's doing. All I know is I'm going to be the best Christian I can, and I'm going to go forward, and I know God's with me. Let's be assured of his presence. It's like a stormy day. We don't get many of those. You know, by the way, that's when water falls from the sky, that's called rain. We don't really see that very often here. That's what that is. But look, if it's a cloudy, stormy day, that doesn't mean the sun has disappeared. It's still there, just behind the cloud right now. We're not recognizing it's there, but it's coming through. Don't worry about it. I like the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman was a woman Elisha the prophet would go through, and he would stay at these people's house, and they were very kind to him. He was the prophet, and it's like, what can we do for them? And his assistant said, listen, they don't have a child. So he prayed that they would be able to have a child. Lo and behold, she has a child. Several years later, the boy is out in the field with his father. He says he has a headache. The father sends the kid home to mom. The boy comes home to mom, dies. What does she do? I like what she says. She goes to tell her husband, she goes, I'm going to go talk to the prophet. And it's in 2 Kings. I like this verse. And the husband, he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is either new moon nor Sabbath. She goes, there's no reason for you to go see him. What's going on? She hadn't even told the husband that the boy was dead. Here's what she says. She said, it shall be well. No, didn't answer the, why are you going to see him? It'll be all right. Everything's good. I like that kind of faith. She didn't even say, hey, the boy's dead. I'm going to go chew the prophet out. Like, why did you give me a child? Did I ask you for a child? No. Now, she didn't say that, but she said, listen, I'm going to go see the prophet. Everything's under control. She was still sure of what was going on. Listen, God is always with us. Next, the surety of God's sovereignty. Says, the verse continues, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And really, you know what she's saying? God's in control. God didn't lose control of this thing. See, sometimes we think that. But that's another thing. We don't only like security, we like control. We want to make sure that we've got everything in this little box, everything stays within the line, everything follows the procedure we want it to follow, because we like control. God doesn't work like that. God is in control. And sometimes as what we see is going off track, out of bounds, is God saying, I'm getting you to where I want you to be, not to where you want to be. God is sovereign. He says one day he will stand. Listen, he's ultimately going to be in control of everything. Yep. And by the way, he's in control of things today. Yep. God didn't fall off his throne. We think, what's going on, Lord? My life, it just seems like everything is spinning out of control. Really? Think about Job. You know, one disaster happens. Here comes a servant saying, Job, there's a disaster. All the fields are burned up. And while he's talking, here comes another servant. Hey, someone came and stole all the cattle. While he's still talking, here comes another servant. There was a whirlwind and your children are all dead. It's like one right after another. It's like, come on, what's going on here? Things are spiraling out of control. Now, we may think that on our end, but God's in control. God's not giving up on you. God still, it's like when Satan came to Eve. Satan came to Eve and said, listen, he got her confused. Once she got confused, he goes, listen, if you eat that fruit, you'll be a God in your life. You'll be the one deciding what's right and wrong. That's been his lie to us ever since. We want to be the ones in control. We want to be the decision makers. We want to be the ones that say, this is how I want it. This is what I want to happen. This is how I want it to go. God doesn't allow that. Do you understand that God's got a plan? What is it? I don't know. You think about it. Joseph. God's plan for Joseph was to be vice president of Egypt, to save everybody from the famine, including his family. Now, here's what we don't like. We don't like the way to get there. Now, what was the path to get there? Well, you know, first he was like a senator, and then no, that's not how it worked. His own brother sold him as a slave. Wait a minute, vice president of Egypt. And then he gets taken to Potiphar's house. And he makes the best of a bad situation. In fact, he works so diligently, Potiphar says, man, I'm not doing anything, handle it. I got someone here that knows what's going on, and I'm being prosperous because of this guy. Do whatever you need to do. And then Potiphar's wife, a big guy, you know. And he ends up, so here it is. Can you imagine him? I'm sold as a slave. It's like, but this is a pretty good job for a slave. I mean, I know God's kind of getting me out of this. Then he's in prison. Didn't seem like things were going very well. Now, I can see what's the guy who runs the prison? What do they call him? No, jailer. Warden. There you go. Thank you. Jailer. Warden. The warden sees that Joseph's blessed, so the warden sits in his office, drinks coffee, and reads the newspaper, and Joseph runs the prison. Now, that's not a good gig, but still, it's better than, you know. And he goes from that to vice president of Egypt. Now, it doesn't seem like that was a very good path. And it seems to me there are many places upon that road Joseph could have said, Lord, what's going on here? Lord, don't you remember that dream I had? You know, that one where they were bowing to me and I was kind of the big guy. What's going on, Lord? I mean, come on, it's bad enough my brother sold me as a slave, but I worked hard and now I'm in prison. What's going on? God says, I got one more step. He didn't know that. We don't know what God has planned. But I know this, all things work together for good to those who love God. If we just be and do what we're supposed to do, God will accomplish what he wants to accomplish. But we have to trust his sovereignty. We have to let him be in control. Let's not fight him. How often do we fight God? We don't realize it's just a step on the path. I got you. I got a place for you right here, but you got to follow the steps. The last thing is this. Won't spend much time on it. The surety of God's reward. He says, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and none another, though my reins be consumed within me. You know what he says? There's a payday coming. God knows what's going on. God's keeping score. You know, everything we do down here, sometimes we wonder, is this really what's best for my life here? Well, let me say this. Living for God is. The greatest thing you can do is live for the Lord. I think it's the best life, bar none. Don't let people tell you different. Best thing you can do. But let me say this. It pays eternally, too. You know, there is an eternal. Listen, we live on this earth. If you're lucky, you'll live, what is it, 72 years. If you're married, 52, okay? Just kidding. By the way, say men live 7 years, on average, 7 years less than women. Why? Life insurance, hey. You live to be in your 70s, mid-70s. You know how long eternity is? Forever. And God blesses and rewards us because of what we do now. Job said, listen, I know there's a better day. He's going to stand upon the earth, and there is an afterlife, and it's the thing. And everything that happens down here one day will seem so small. God's keeping track. How's it going for you today? Are you struggling? I mean, are there things in your life sometimes that come up and it's like, God, what is going on? I don't understand this. Well, let's make sure that unsure feeling we had, by the way, Job had it, but in the midst of those feelings, Job knew what was right. He never got away from that. And we know the end of the story. let's realize that we're not going through this life alone. We're saved. We have the presence of God. And God has a plan that he's trying to work out in each and every one of us. Let's not fight him. Let's stand together this morning.